You got porn in your pocket, meaning anywhere, anytime, all day long.
And Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes.
What do you have to do? What lengths do you have to go to? Whatever it is, get it out of your life. Stop it.
You fight it as though your very life were threatened, which it is.
But it's not about fighting by yourself. It's about fighting with brothers who are right there with you. And I am one of them. We are in this together because this is Fight Club.
What is purity? I feel like we hear this word all the time. I even say it all the time. It's a part of my everyday vocabulary. I hear it on the stage on Sundays, spoken by my pastor. I hear it on YouTube videos. I see it in books all the time. It's on podcasts. It's online resources. It's on the news even. It's everywhere. We hear this word all the time. And it's something that we're talking about right now. It's something that me and you should be in pursuit of. But what is it? What are we actually pursuing? What is the purpose here? What's the goal? What is purity? Well, I want to start with this definition, what I believe the Bible gives as the definition of purity. And it goes like this. Purity is not even a hint of sexual immorality. Now, that might sound cool and fancy, and I'd like to take credit for that, but that actually comes straight from the Bible. So let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says this. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Purity is the complete absence of sexual immorality. That is what we're going for here. Now, that might seem extreme. That might seem like an insane idea of like, whoa. Have you lived in the 21st century? Do you know how difficult it is to avoid all of this entirely? What, do you want me to be a monk and go live in the mountains with a bunch of other dudes? No, that sounds terrible. That's not what I'm asking. That's not what God's asking. That's not what we're talking about here. What we are talking about, though, is the complete absence, where there's not even a hint of sexual immorality. The complete absence of all things that are impure. This is something that not only we're trying to do in the world around us, trying to avoid all this, sure, yeah, but also what we're trying to do in our heart, right? We are trying to be completely separated from all of this impurity that has controlled us and lorded over us, honestly, for most of our lives. Our goal here is to completely detach from all that, because we can't stay attached to that, stay living the way that we've been living and doing the things that we've been doing, because even just one little string, even if the enemy just has one little finger still touching you in this area, that is enough to drag you back in. Now, this needs to be a complete severing of all of the tentacles of impurity. This needs to be a complete annihilation of all things sexual immorality, because not even a hint of sexual morality is acceptable. Not even, I just love that word. It's such an interesting way that the Bible puts it here, because a hint implies like that. That's as small as I can think, you know, like when you're cooking in the kitchen and it's like, oh, there's just a hint of lime in there, right? It's just barely enough for that you can barely even taste it. You know, some people might not even be able to taste it. That's how subtle it is. That's the word that God chose to use in the Bible here. Not even a hint, not even just a little taste. No, it needs to be completely, entirely gone. Now, that might seem daunting. I know when I first read that verse, I was scared to death. I was like, God, I don't think that's possible. I don't think I can do that. I still want to live a good life. I still want to be obviously in this world and do all these things that I've had planned for my entire life. You know, I have goals and I have ideas and ambitions, and I don't know if I can do that completely separated from sexual immorality. But the good news is that what we're talking about here when we're trying to have not a hint of sexual immorality isn't a bunch of don'ts. It's not a bunch of don't do this and don't do that and don't do all these other things. No, that's part of it. Of course, that's part of it. But that's not really what we're talking about. That's not really the purpose and really the definition of purity. No, what it is, it's not a negative thing of don't do this, don't do that. It's a positive thing of be this and do that. And what that comes down to is finally being the man that God calls us to be. Now, that's also a daunting task, but it's a positive thing. You know, you hear this analogy all the time of like, okay, don't think about a pink elephant. No, don't think about it. Whatever you do, don't think about a pink elephant, right? It's hard to do because our minds don't work in the negatives. We don't really work in this don't do that and don't do that and don't do that. I mean, when we're children, right? If you were running around the house as a kid and your mom told you because the stove was on, hey, don't touch that stove, what are you immediately going to do? Well, you're going to go and touch the stove because that was just put in your mind. It was planted as a seed in your mind. So our goal here isn't to have a bunch of don'ts. to have a bunch of things that we have to avoid, a bunch of things that we can't do, a bunch of things that we don't do anymore. No, our goal is to have positive aspirations, positive goals, things that we're looking forward to, looking up to, and working towards. That's what it is here. But to do that, it requires an incredible amount of honor, of discipline, and of integrity. Now, these are three buzzwords. I know that they are kind of overused sometimes, but they're super important for us to understand in our battle for purity, in our battle to become pure. Because first of all, honor, what does that mean? Well, there's a deeper sense behind that, right? This is something that comes from within. Honor is something that you hear it a lot of times in a war, right? There's the medal of honor, right? This is the highest level of standard that you can live to. That's what honor is. And so, okay, if you want to live a honorable life, as the Bible calls us to, you're going to have to live to a standard that is above not only everything else, but to the level that God calls us to. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but first let's talk about discipline, because that comes into play when you're trying to live an honorable life, right? This is being in control of yourself. There's a great quote, I don't remember who it's by, I want to say it's a Stoic or something like that, but says, a man who conquers himself is the greatest conqueror of all. Like there's something about conquering yourself and being in control of yourself, total self-control, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, by the way, that is so powerful in becoming the man that God calls us to be. It's something that's so necessary in a life following Jesus, because we could live our entire lives just following our every whim and desire. That's honestly what we've been doing. But clearly, to follow Jesus, and even in Jesus' life, we can see this modeled, there's a discipline. There's something of holding yourself back, of keeping yourself controlled, of keeping yourself under control, under your own control, under God's control. It's not letting yourself lash out at emotions, not letting yourself lash out at thoughts. It's not letting yourself do whatever you want to do. It's about doing what you know is right. That's what discipline is. And then the last one is integrity. This is by far the most important word for us to be dealing with here. And I know even for me, when I hear this word, sometimes I cringe a little bit, because to be honest, I have not had integrity in my life, especially in this area. I mean, I think there is no better definition of lacking integrity than sexual sin. Because what are we doing when we're engaging in sexual sin? Well, the door's closed. No one's watching, right? Who cares? It's just you and your phone. That's it. And so it feels like you can do whatever you want. But what is integrity? We've heard this since grade school, right? Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. That is so important for this battle, because how many times is no one watching you? How many times are you on your couch or in your bed with your phone alone? What's the point in fighting all this away? No one's gonna know. No one has to know. Well, that's where integrity comes into play. No, that's where you need to decide. No, someone is watching, God. And even if no one was watching, the right thing is still the right thing when no one is there to witness it. And so those are our three words, things that we're going to come back to again and again and again, but I wanted to introduce them here, and I'll say them again. It's honor, it's discipline, and it's integrity. But again, what we're fighting for here is sexual purity, and sexual purity is a byproduct of those things. So yes, we're aiming for that, obviously, but what it feels like our goal is to get sexual purity, right? That's what I feel like brought us all to this point, is I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to be pure. I want to be free. But those things are byproducts of a life of honor, discipline, and integrity. And I'll be honest with you. In order to live a life like that, in order to live a life the way that God calls us to, a life of purity, a life in pursuit of Jesus, those are synonyms, by the way, in order to do that, it requires an incredible amount of sacrifice. And that's another buzzword. So now we've had honor, discipline, integrity, and finally sacrifice. And this one is the most painful. I mean, this is what Jesus modeled for us on the cross. This is what clearly a life following Jesus entails. This is one of the biggest aspects of being a Christian, is sacrifice. It's understanding that in order to get what you really desire, you have to give up things that you want right now. It's kind of like the long-term gratification sort of thing. It's not giving in to your current desires at the expense of what is in the future. My dad always says it this way. He says, we give up things that we love for things that we love more. Now, you can love things that are bad, and we have in a lot of ways when it comes to sexual impurity. I know that I have. And what I've done now, what I've agreed to, and what you're agreeing to here, is to give up those bad things that you did love
for things that you love more. Yes, of course, you do love the way that you feel when you're falling into sexual sin. It feels good. That's how it's supposed to feel. But again, that's a perversion. But you love the pursuit of Jesus more. You love God more. You love what he calls you to more. You love who he is more and what he did for you more. And so it's not a question of, I need to do this and I really don't want to do it, but I know that I should. No, it's I need to do this and I'm doing it out of love. I'm doing it because I love God more than I love myself. I love God more than I love the gratification that whatever I'm engaging in right now is going to offer me. I love God more than I love anything else. That, all of that requires sacrifice, though, because inherent in that statement is an idea of giving up something else, right? Now, I knew two things when I started this journey. The first one was that I was ready to do whatever it took, right? And you may be in that same place right now. I don't care. I did not care at all if I had to give up my left arm in order to be free. Like, I was done. I was ready. It was go time. I was like, God, point me in a direction and let me run. Let me get after it. Let me just go and run through a brick wall. Like, that's how I was feeling. But on top of that, I also knew the second truth, which was I was so sick and tired of being lied to. Being lied to by the enemy, being lied to by myself, being lied to by the world, being lied to by my desires, being lied to by everything. I was sick and tired of it. So I don't want to lie to you now, because I think the truth is a remarkable thing and it's a beautiful thing. And that's why I'm going to tell you this right here, right now. Full transparency. This is going to suck. This is not going to be fun. When we're talking about sacrifice, that is a difficult thing. That is something that is not just a one-time decision. It's a daily decision. And that means that there's going to be days where you wake up and you do not want to keep going. You do not want to get back into the rhythm and keep sacrificing and keep giving up these things. I know for me, what I needed to do, and we'll get into this later, but one of the things that I needed to do was give up watching Netflix. Netflix was bad for me. It led me into bad places. It tempted me in ways that I wasn't even registering in my mind. It was corrupting me at a subconscious level almost. And I realized that I needed to give it up. And the first day after I gave it up, I was amped. I was ready to go. I was like, yes, this is a great decision. Of course I should have done that. Yes, look, finally, God, these are the fruits of showing that I actually care and I actually want freedom and I'm actually pursuing you. Is I'm ready to give up these things and put them in the altar and say, God, I know that this is bad for me. I know that you call me higher than this, so I'm going to give it up. Even though I love it so much, I'm choosing to love you more. It was awesome. I was kind of on a high. But then the next day, went to work. Had a real long day, got real stressed out, had a couple things not go my way. I come home, I'm real tired, and I just want to lay on the couch and take a load off almost, you know? And I literally did. I remember I laid down on the couch and I turned the TV on, and the second I went to click on Netflix, I was like, oh yeah, shoot. It was the worst. It hurt, man. I was mad. I was bummed out. I was frustrated. I probably said a few words that I regret now, to be totally honest with you. But I had to make that decision again. I had to sacrifice it again. I had to put it back at the foot of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. I had to say, God, no, I made this decision yesterday. The truth behind the decision I made is still true today, even more so than it is yesterday, because I'm more tired today. I'm more vulnerable today. I'm more susceptible to falling back into lust today. And this is something that can cause that. So I need to put it back at the foot of the cross. That sucked so bad, because you know what? The next day, the same thing happened. And the next day, it happened again. And then I got to the weekend and I had so much free time on my hands. And I was like, man, what am I supposed to do with myself? I would love to just pop a movie on and burn an hour or two. But I had to do it again. Sacrifice is a daily decision. And that is what we are agreeing to here. That is what brings us to this place of being in pursuit of God, of being the man that God calls us to be. But it sucks. It really does. And it brings me to a scripture, and I want to read this. Hebrews 10:36 says this, "Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised." I love that. It's kind of funny that it says patient endurance. Those are two words that kind of already go hand in hand. And so it's important to me that it's phrased like this, because it shows it's like doubling down. It's like, no, it's not just endurance. It's patient endurance. You may think that endurance is patient, but we're saying it needs to be even more patient.
And that's because this, like I said, it's a daily decision and it's going to wear on you. There are going to be days where you don't want to do it. And there are going to be stretches of days where you don't want to do it. Some days you'll be riding a high and it's easy and you're busy and you're doing other things and these sacrifices feel like they're not really sacrifices. But there'll be other days where they are sacrifices, where, man, you are actually giving that up. You are actually having to surrender that constantly, hour by hour, day by day, sometimes even minute by minute. And it sucks. But it's patient endurance that we need. Patient endurance is what you need now. So you will continue to do God's will. Because when you start to decide to sacrifice things, when you start to decide to live a life of honor and discipline and integrity, you are deciding to do something that is incredibly difficult. Something that is not a one-time decision, like I said. Something that is not a one-day thing or a one-week thing or a one-month thing. You are agreeing to a lifelong thing. This is something that is the rest of your life, and you need to come to terms with that. I really struggled with that. It was difficult for me to come to terms with that idea, to be like, no, this is my new life. Like we talked about before, the old life is dead and gone, and a new life has begun. In that is incredible celebration and victory almost, and this peace that comes upon you of like, no, I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. But then after a little bit, the reality of it sets in, because there are so many things about your old life that were awesome, that you loved, that really felt life-giving, right? That really brought you what you felt like was peace, what you felt like was joy, what you felt like was just the life that you wanted to live. These were good things. But your new life doesn't allow for all of that. Some things, of course, you can keep as long as they bring you closer to God and not pull you further away. But some things you're going to have to sacrifice. Some things you're going to have to give up. And it's those things that suck so bad. But that is what helps us to continue to do God's will. Because God will point it out to you. If you're open and you're honest, God will show you what you need to sacrifice. And like I said, we'll get into all this later. We'll do a whole other video on what we need to sacrifice and how we sacrifice and how we gauge things and measure if something brings us closer to God or pulls us further away. That's not what we're doing here. We're trying to understand the purpose behind it, right? Because the purpose is purity. And we're talking about what is purity. And purity is the pursuit of God. And the pursuit of God requires sacrifice. So anyways, I digress a little bit there. But all of this is to say that purity, what we're talking about, at a fundamental level, is a daily pursuit of God. And a daily pursuit of God requires not pursuing the things of this world, not pursuing the things of your past life. Look, there's another verse I want to read here. It's Revelation 3:20. It says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in." Jesus is already calling on your life. You wouldn't be here listening or watching to this if Jesus wasn't knocking at that door. You are curious. You know how you should be living. You know that there's something more out there. You know that you're called higher. You know that who you are supposed to be is not who you are right now, and that something needs to change to get there, and you need direction. Right? God is knocking at the door. And the question that we've been talking about is, are you letting him in? Are you going to say, you know what? Yeah, welcome in. But are you going to let him in and just let him stand in the foyer? Is that all that he gets? Maybe one of those little uncomfortable benches with like the foam thing on the top. Is that all that he gets? You're like, oh, Jesus, sit there. Hold on. I'm going to go watch my show real quick. Or you invite him into the living room, but not upstairs. No. He doesn't get to come into the bedroom. No, come on. That's your personal space. Or is he invited everywhere? See, when we're talking about a daily pursuit of God, this is a life with God, a life in full step with God. You are stride for stride with him and with what he has for you. And that means that everything is open to him. That means that everything that isn't bringing you closer to him is thrown out the window. Now, that's a yard sale. We're getting rid of all of that. But everything that does, everything that is life-giving, everything that is bringing you closer to Jesus, no, that's all welcome inside. And Jesus can go everywhere he wants. So I got a little bit distracted there, but I want to talk about a couple of things when it comes to starting your journey for purity, starting your journey in pursuit of God. And these are super practical. These are rules that I live by. These are rules that everyone that I talk to on this issue, I encourage them to live by. And so there's three rules. And the first one is know secrets. Now, we're going to have a whole other series, honestly, about accountability. Accountability is one of the most important aspects of purity. It's not the most important aspect. Some people will tell you that. That's not true. The most important aspect is following Jesus, but it is one of the most important aspects. And in accountability, you can't hide anything, because the Bible says that what you keep in the dark is a foothold for the enemy. That is where your next sin sprouts out of. As soon as you hide just one little thing, then over the course of hours and days and weeks, that grows and grows and grows, and the enemy gets more of a foothold until finally he's got you fully in his grasp again. So we can't have any secrets, nothing. Nothing is something that is too shameful for you to say. No, we put it all on the table. We are 100% honest all the time. That is a rule of following Jesus. That is a rule of pursuing purity, because James 5:16 says this: confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We are called to confess our sins to each other, not just a couple of them, not just the ones that we feel okay with bringing into the light. No, every single thing. Now, it's going to feel like the most daunting task. If you haven't had this full confession moment with someone that you trust, this is going to feel like the scariest moment of your life. I had to do that today with my boss. I had to go and say, hey, I've really struggled with this for my life, and I want to be open and honest, and I don't want to keep secrets from anyone. So I went out in a way to push myself, in a way to put myself back in a place where I know you are right now. I went and did that. I said, no, I'm going to do this. I don't want to do it. I don't want to risk the perception that they're going to have of me now. I don't want to risk having to put things out on the table. I don't want to risk having to be honest. I don't want to have to risk taking the mask off and peeling back the layers of myself and saying, this is something that I've struggled with. But I can't tell you how incredibly impactful it is to finally take the veil off, to finally just put it all out in the open and say, this is what I've struggled with. This is who I was, but it's not who I am anymore. I think it's so important for us to be totally honest. And again, like I said, we're going to talk about accountability later, but it's so important for you to have a guy, a couple guys, those dudes who are right there with you, to be able to confess these things to. And you need to be able to be totally honest with them. If it's someone that you can't do that with, then that might not be the right person for you. But if it's a you problem, if it's just your arrogance, or if it's your pride, or if it's your insecurity that keeps you from being out in the open and being totally honest with them, then that's a different problem. That's what we're trying to address here. We do not tolerate secrets here. That is the only thing that you can do that actually resets you in this journey. If you lie, that's the only thing that takes you all the way back to your old life. No, if you mess up again, we can deal with that. People have relapses. It's something that we fight against, and there are strategies for. It's another thing that we'll talk about. But even that can come back from. But lying, even lies of omission, where you're hiding just a couple things. Maybe you didn't lie about it, but you didn't say it either. No, that is unacceptable behavior. That's the only thing that we do not tolerate here. So there are no secrets allowed. We are 100% honest all the time. And that means all the time. Now, I personally believe that you should have the widest net of honesty possible, because you need to have a lot of people who are in your corner, a lot of people who are able to pray the truth for you. If someone doesn't know you're struggling, how can they do what it says in James 5:16? How can they pray for you? How can the earnest prayer of a righteous person help you? It can't. You have to be honest for that. So I confess to everyone that I trust, every single person that I trust. If it comes up, I will confess it. I will bring it out. Look at me right now. I'm bringing it out on the open internet. This is one of the most powerful things that you can do, is get it out into the open. Just confess, be honest, do it to everyone, and do it wholeheartedly and without reservation. So that's rule number one, no secrets. Rule number two, no compromises. Look, we've already talked about this a little bit, but what you allow in little bits will turn into big things. We talked about in the beginning, right? There should be not a hint of sexual immorality. This is the point that we're driving with this rule, is you cannot compromise. You cannot allow a hint to come into your life. There may be something, you might be out with friends watching in a movie theater, a movie. It's not necessarily a bad thing. You probably should have researched it beforehand to make sure there wasn't anything bad in there. But if you got into that situation and a sex scene pops up, I don't care how stupid you look, not a hint. You're either ducking that,
closing those or walking out the door. That's the type of thing that we're talking about. There are no compromises. It doesn't matter how stupid you look. It doesn't matter how much effort it takes. It doesn't matter how much it puts in jeopardy other things in your lives. We do not tolerate compromises. We cannot live a double life still. We cannot allow these little things to come in and get a foothold in our lives. This is in everything. This is in something that we'll talk about is eye discipline. This is in how we control what we look at, what we allow into our mind. It's in thought discipline, what we allow to stay. It's about our hearts and allowing things that we feel to stick around. We don't tolerate any of it. There's no compromises here. And most importantly, this is in your consistency, right? One of the most important things that you should be doing every single day is getting into this, getting into your word. You should not miss a day of this. You should be reading every single day because this is how you build habits in the right direction. This is how you put the truth into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, into your eyes. This is how you change your life is in this book right here. And so we don't allow compromises for, oh no, I need to do this today, so I'm not going to be able to read my Bible. No. We read every day. And that comes with a lot of things, not just reading your Bible, a lot of things in spiritual disciplines, things that we'll talk about in the future, but no compromises. Nothing is more important than what we're engaging in right now. I got another verse for you. It's Galatians 5, 16 through 17. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Look, this is what I think is so important. We talk about the parable of the two wolves and all that. There is two forces at war within you. And the one that you feed is the one that's going to win. So when you compromise and when you let things come in and take root and take hold and get a foothold, like the Bible says, that is a compromise, and that is going to lead to your sinful nature winning. We want the Holy Spirit to win, and so we're going to feed that. We're going to do the things that bring us closer to Him, and we're not going to allow even a hint of the things that pull us further. That's rule number two. Rule number three, this one's my favorite, no excuses. It's one of the things that I think we do most frequently in our minds. We may not do it outwardly. We may seem like we're all locked in and we don't make excuses out and we're like total accountability. Like, no, I messed up all this and this, but in here we're making excuses. We're like, oh no, but I probably wouldn't have failed if this didn't happen. Oh, I probably wouldn't have failed if I didn't do this, or I probably wouldn't have failed if that didn't happen to me. Yeah. Okay. Sure. But you still failed. That was still your decision, right? And so excuses are not acceptable. We need 100% accountability for our mistakes because they are your mistakes. The only one that you can blame for this issue, the only one that you can blame for this continued sin or for a moment of sin is you. That's it. You're the only one here. The buck stops with you. It's just your fault. So we don't take excuses. We are 100% honest. We don't make compromises and we don't make excuses because this is a battle of consistency. Look, you're not going to win this in a day, but you do have to win today. And you know how you lose today is you start making excuses, because excuses have a tendency to snowball. Excuses have a tendency to build on each other. Excuses have a tendency to beget more excuses. That's a fun word. I don't think I've used beget like that before. Anyways, excuses makes your vision small. It brings everything tight. It brings everything together. It takes away the context of the situation. Excuses make you a victim. That's why they're bad. That's why we don't tolerate them, because excuses are immature things, right? Excuses allow us to get away with stuff that we shouldn't be getting away with. Excuses allow us to continue to live in our old life, to continue to be little boys. No, we're called to be men. We're called to be mature. Men don't make excuses. One of the most admirable things that a man can do is just take responsibility for something. 100%. No excuses. Don't offer any excuses. This is my bad. Even if it's not a full sin, even if you didn't fall all the way in, but you found yourself scrolling through Netflix, or you found yourself picking up your phone late at night and you opened Instagram or YouTube Shorts or something like that. Like, oh, nope, I shouldn't have done that. No, I was bored. Nope, that's not an excuse. Oh, it was just right there. Oh, that's not an excuse. Oh, it was already open on my phone. That's not an excuse. Oh, a friend sent me a link. Nope, that's not an excuse. We don't take excuses. You chose. You chose to open that video. You chose to open that app. You chose to be in that situation. No excuses. And that also comes with a point that I've tried to drive home a lot is you're in control here, right? Like I said, it's your decision. These are your actions and you are in control. And any other lie, any other idea
is a lie. One more verse for you. Galatians 6:5 says this, "For we are each responsible for our own conduct." Everything that we talk about here is rooted in the Bible. And that's why I bring that verse up. I love that. It's so simple. It's so short and to the point. I love the book of Galatians. I just quoted it twice here. But that verse really drives home the point of no excuses. We are responsible for our own conduct. It is our lives at the end of the day. God gave us free will because he loves us. And we get to decide how we live our lives. So don't live them in excuses. Don't live them as a victim. All right, so those are the three rules. One more time, no secrets, no compromises, and no excuses. And once we get those down, and once we start living by those, then we can start moving forward. And how do we move forward? Well, there's a couple key disciplines. We're going to dive into each of these in depth, but I want to introduce them here because I think they're super important. First of all, we already talked about it, daily time in the Word. This should be the most important part of your day. This isn't something that you try and fit into your schedule. It's not something that oh, maybe I've got 30 minutes here that I can slip it in. No, no, no. This is the most important thing. So for me, the way that looks is I do it at the beginning of the day and I do it at the end of the day. Because even still, like, you can get interrupted and you can miss certain moments. For example, this morning, every morning, I wake up earlier than I should in order to get into my Word. I got into my Word. I got about a chapter in, and then I got a phone call from my family. Now, I live very far away from them. So it's the type of thing where I try not to miss those phone calls. And so I answered that phone call and, oh, what does that mean? Well, at that point, I had to get up and get in the shower. And so I didn't prioritize that. So now I leave time at the end of the day. And I say, no, I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how long of a day I had. I don't care what happened. This is my time. I work around this time. My sleep is around this time. It's not something that I can eat into. No, this is a block, an immovable block of my discipline, of my reading the Bible, of my getting in the truth. And that's how we need to treat it. We have to do it every single day because this truth is what renews our mind. That's why I like to do it at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. The beginning of the day to get myself into the right mindset, the right headspace in order to approach the day as Jesus would. And at the end of the day, to try and get rid of all the lies that I've believed throughout the day, to try and be the... Let the last thing in my mind be the truth. So that's number one. Number two is authentic brotherhood. Again, we're going to talk about this accountability later. One of the most important things that you can do is have other guys who are in this with you. And I guarantee you, you may not know it, but there are a lot of other guys that are struggling with this. I guarantee you, your best friend, if you've never talked about this, you don't know if he struggles with this. Dude, he does. He 100% does. I can't tell you how many times where I've been vulnerable. I've been out and said, hey, I really struggle with this. And you know what? Another guy next to me that I never would have thought struggled with this is like, bro, me too. So get out there. Find other guys that you can fight with. Find other guys that you can bring with you. Because the Bible says that a three-corded rope is not easily broken. That's what we need here. If you are on your own, you are going to fail. But if you are together with other brothers, if you are doing this as a brotherhood, that's when you can start to have success. That's what this is here. We are a brotherhood. We're doing this together. That's number two. Number three, radical honesty. We already talked about it. It's so important to confess the truth. This is a daily thing. The way that I do it, the way I encourage you to do it, is I do a daily check-in with a couple guys that I really trust. Every single day, we answer four questions. Number one, how am I feeling today? What went wrong today? What went right today? Those are later. How am I feeling? What's going through my mind? What's going through my heart? What are the things that are weighing on me? What are the things that happened today that are bothering me? Because emotions are a big part of this. And then question two is, what went wrong today? Now we talk about, okay, here's what I did wrong. These are the things where I'm taking accountability, right? I'm not making excuses. I'm showing, here's the places where I did compromise today. It was unacceptable and I shouldn't have done it. And I lay that out and I confess that. And then the third one is, what went right today? And that's where we say, okay, look, I may have done that, but I didn't make excuses there. I took ownership and I did this in response. And I worked towards these things and I refocused my mind on this. And I did these other things in order to recenter myself, right? I got into my Word, anything like that. And then the fourth question is, what am I worried about tomorrow? Specifically triggers. What are the things that I'm focusing on that I'm trying to be aware of so they don't catch me by surprise tomorrow? What are the things that are possible speed bumps and trip ups that could cause me to fall into lust? And we do that every single day because brotherhood is so important. We need to be together and we need to be honest and we need to share our struggles and share our celebrations. We need to be totally open and together in this. The next one is prayer and worship. I can't tell you, a lot of times we only pray when it's something that is a crisis, right? Something that we need, but that's not how prayer works. No, prayer is talking to God. So it's so important to talk to God every single day, to build that as a habit, because the more you talk to God, the better you'll get at it, the more natural that it will feel, and the more power that will have. So start praying and start worshiping. I think one of the best ways to pray is to just turn on some worship music and just praise God and just be worshipful and to just humble your heart and just be like, God, I just want to be with you right now. I just want to be in your presence. I may not be good at prayer, but I can be in your presence. I can just sit here. And the last one is fasting and boundaries. We're going to talk about all of that later. There's going to be so much on that. But those are the five things that I just want to preface today. And the last thing that I want to land this plane with is this. You have everything that you need to win right now. Everything that you need to have victory, everything that you need to have freedom, everything you need to have purity, everything you need to follow Jesus in as full of a way as you possibly can, you have it. You're ready to go. You got everything that you need. The only thing that you're lacking is urgency. The only thing that you're lacking is an understanding that it needs to happen today. It needs to happen right now, right? You may be like, no, I don't need to read my Bible right now. I'm okay. I'll do that later tonight. No, you got free time right now. Do it now, because this is not something that you can kick away and punt down the field. That's not how this works. No, you need to have urgency. I mean, we like to have the battle imagery a lot. And I like to think, you know, I'm not sitting here convincing you in this war that you should fight the war, right? You're already in this war. We're already fighting it together. Like I said before, we're already drafted into this. That's not what's happening here. No, what I'm doing is I'm standing next to you. I'm saying, no. You need to go charge that machine gun nest right now, right? I'm not trying to convince you that the war is worth fighting. We're already on the same page with that. I'm trying to convince you that the war is worth dying for. I'm trying to convince you that the war is worth sacrificing for, that the war is worth making your next objective now at this exact moment, winning today. That's what I'm trying to convince you of. It is about urgency. We need to get going. This battle only gets more difficult. The longer that you wait, the more difficult it will get. So get going right here, right now. This is your starting point. This is your whistle to go over the top into no man's land and charge that machine gun nest. And if you do, you will have victory, because we're going together, brother. We're going together. Man, that gets me fired up. Hey bro, thank you so much for listening. And for more information on your battle with lust, please go to pursuegod.org/fightclub. And most importantly, join in on the movement by starting your own fight club today.